I'm recording this to upload it to my website, so yes, we are recording live, so welcome. I'm glad you're here. Like I said, y'all could have been elsewhere, but y'all decided to come here tonight, so I thank you for that, and I'm glad to see you here. Now, one lady I hadn't seen come in yet, but this message actually was stemmed from the conversation that we was having. You know, we was talking about God's glory. And we was talking about, you know, when we are surrounded in His glory, or we're in a fellowship of His glory, you know, how His glory can be with us, but how sometimes the glory can, you know, leave, because we was discussing Ichabod. And I'm pretty sure y'all heard that word, Ichabod, and what it means that the glory of the Lord has left this place. But we got into a little conversation about being complacent. You know, and I was seeing lately in the ministry in the church that I pastor at, I'm not the lead pastor, by the way, but I'm just one of many pastors in the church. But us, we was talking, you know, several weeks ago about complacency of people, how people just become complacent. They just seem comfortable. They just don't seem to have the desire. They don't have the will. They just don't have it. You know, that awe, you know, they just seem like they just don't have it no more. And we're kind of wondering what's going on, but I'm talking with other ministers all over the United States, but basically all over the world, and we are seeing basically the same thing. We're seeing a lot of them are saying the same thing. It's just like, I don't know what's going on. Attendance is down. People don't seem like they hear the word. Now, I made a joke Wednesday night. I said, yeah, but I guarantee you, I know how we can fill this church. If we start acting like those word of faith preachers or the feel-good preachers, we'll pack this place. But we're preaching the truth. Nobody wants truth no more. Nobody wants to hear the word of God no more, because it offends them and makes them uncomfortable. Well, if it's offending them and making them uncomfortable, that's telling me something. Either it's doing what we're supposed to do. Because if you're not uncomfortable while hearing the word, then again, I'm starting to think you might become complacent. So when I started thinking about this, and I started, you know, looking into the word, and to me, folks, that the word of God is clear in instructing us as believers, showing us that we need to be cautious. Now, if you really study the scriptures, you'll find out there is a lot of scriptures in there telling us that we have to be cautious. And there's a reason for that, because again, see, the devil, and I don't like that dude. I mean, I call him old snot or whatever you want to call him. But, you know, the devil always has plans of attacking us in various strategies and tactics to attack God's children. He's slick. He uses various strategies. He uses various tactics. He does this to attack us all the time. And the Bible is really, my friends, very clear on instructing the believers on how the believers need to be aware of various strategies the devil uses. Because this is why, you know, whenever I talk to people, I always ask them, and I like this because my friend Chris uses this phrase a lot, the brass tacks question, because that's my new catchphrase, the brass tacks question. But whenever I'm talking to different Christians now, and I'm listening to their story, you know, either here in this chat, or either on Skype, or either on the telephone, or either at church, I usually ask the brass tacks questions now, and one of them usually is, are you reading the Word of God daily? And I'm going to tell you right now, 9 times out of 10, I get a lot of people say, well, Jim, not as often as I used to. Not as I really should be. You know, then I go further, you know, into other things, but usually I can pinpoint the problem real quick on spiritual attacks. Folks, the Word of God is our weapon. If we don't learn how to use it, how are we going to fight against spiritual warfare? So, in this message tonight, and this is another thing I've been seeing with a lot of Christians, in this message tonight, we will be looking at the topic of complacency in a Christian's life and how this is sin in the eyes of God from the scriptures we're about to read tonight. And before we go into our reading passages, let us examine what complacency is. As believers today, folks, we need to acknowledge that this is one of the unique weapons that the devil uses amongst the believers today in a Christian life. Believe it or not, folks, this is a good weapon Satan loves to use to put us in that complacency mode. Sometimes we find out we're not even in it until we are dealt with certain things that brings it to light. And later on in this message, I think you will understand where I'm going with this. You see, this is coming from a personal point of view. And a lot of messages I get led to is something that I dealt with within my life. And as I was speaking on this topic, I'm going to admit to you, I have been a victim to the sin of complacency in my Christian life. But the good news is, folks, we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. And God has helped me this far to even overcome this sin in my life. Praise God. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, my friends, we're going into the book of Philippians. It will be posted for you to read on the screen too. But we're going into the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to be starting from verse 12, going into chapter 4, verse 1. And starting with verse 12, and it says, "Not that I already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this in mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have for us, have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I told you often, and now I tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body. It may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the workings by which he is able to subdue all things to himself." In verse 1 and chapter 4, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Folks, I'm already missing out on another thing. I don't have my proper glasses, but give me a second. I'll switch them out real quick, because I am blind if I don't have the correct ones. But folks, that is a lot to be said right there. So let us go to the word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, first of all, I'm going to ask you, if there's anything within me that I have not confessed to you before the start of this service, I ask of you to forgive me now for where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I don't mean to do the things that I do sometimes, but I don't use that as an excuse to do it anyway, but we make mistakes. We do so all the time. So this is why I'm coming to you in confession, to ask of you to forgive me of my sins where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Dear God, I ask of you to bless all those who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. They could have went and watched television. They could have went and listened to some you know, radio program. They could have went read a book and, you know, oh, I'm not going to go listen to that message. But they decided to come here. And this is not about me. This is not about the server. This is not about us, really. This is all about giving honor and glory to you. Father, I ask of you to bless those folks. Put a protective hedge around them. Guard them. Let them know that you love them. Help them. Keep them on the straight and narrow path. And show them that you have never forsaken us and you never will. Father, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you. We want to give all the praises to you. Because, again, you are a wonderful God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. And I know someone's going to laugh at me because I got to get water anyway. So, because she probably tell you, well, Jim, that was sure was a lot of reading that you had to do, huh? But anyway, my friends, the title for the message tonight, and this came from the conversation I had with a dear friend of mine here on the internet. The title for this message, and y'all seen in the room, but Complacency to Sin in a Christian's Life. Now, in our day, perhaps you have learned or experienced already that if we are not growing in faith, we are sliding away from the will of God. There is no such thing as just staying where you are. Some of us like you to stay, oh, I just want to stay where I'm at. You know, I don't want to go no further, you know, because I just don't want to go through another valley, another trial, another hardship, another, you know. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. There is no such thing about us just staying where we are. We are overcomers. We are on a journey. We are to endure whatever that we are facing because it helps us grow in spiritual maturity. But again, these are lessons we learn for some particular reason. I don't have all the answers for, but they are there to help us grow. And this is why I said earlier, the Word of God is so important to understand, nurture it, grow with it, read it, and study it because it helps us. If you're not into it all the time, if you're not reading it all the time, then you're going to open yourselves up to those spiritual attacks. They're going to happen. So that's why I'm saying, folks, either you are either growing in maturity or growing in some degree of complacency. You're going to hear this word a lot throughout this message because I dug into it a lot of it, and that's why I caught myself when my dear friend challenged me to ask those hard questions. And I challenge you in your spiritual journey, ask the hard questions. Don't be afraid because, you know, we need to. We need to go to God with these hard questions. We need to go to God and say, God, is this for you or is this about me? Me, 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 me. We can play the me, me, me bird all we want. But if we're playing the me bird all we want, we're not giving honor and glory to God at all, period. We're not. We have to decide, who is this for? Is this honoring God or is this honoring self? And I know sometimes you may not want to ask those questions. Sometimes you may be afraid to find out the real truth about yourself. But I think we need to find the truth about ourselves to have our eyes open. I did. In light of all that's been going on with this thing, the server, and a few questions, you know, which I thought was right, which I thought was giving honor and glory to God, which I thought. But when I found out there was a lot of eyes in there, I hardly knew God. Because I found out something about myself when going through this message. So in our message tonight, we will examine the topic of complacency to sin in our lives and also study it. As this is supposed to be taken with great caution. Now, dear brothers and sisters, there is a high price to complacency we as believers in Christ have to pay for, as complacency makes us to abandon our true purpose to what we were created for and placed on this earth. Words of warning here now, my friends. Complacency in a Christian life stops him or her to be the spiritual leaders in our families. It makes us to take a weariness attitude in our Christian lives. Complacency makes us stop the core disciplines that we first practice in our Christian life when we started to walk with God. And tonight we shall examine, are we complacent in our Christian lives? Now, you've been hearing this word, like I said, you know, be prepared. This is being recorded. You want to re-listen to it, that'll be fine so you can kind of get it. Because, you know, Jim, you're using the word complacency a lot. And I'm just an old Cajun from Louisiana, so I may not be saying it just correctly. But you're probably thinking, okay, Jim, what is complacency? Well, what it means, a feeling of contentment or self-satisfaction. Feeling too comfortable in your present place. In other words, complacency is feeling content for the wrong reasons. Now notice, and y'all may know who this guy is, but his name is A.W. Tozer. I use a lot of his reference. He's a biblical teacher. This is what he says about it. He said that complacency is easy, and it is the enemy of spiritual growth. Wow. But notice he also said complacency is deadly foe for all spiritual growth. And he went on to even say more. He said 1 in 1,000 Christians reveals any passionate thirst for God. What? Wait a minute. Let's read that again. He says 1 in 1,000 Christians reveals any passionate thirst for God. Whew. That's not good numbers, folks. 1 in 1,000? Shouldn't it be 1,000? Me and my brother Chris, we talk all the time, man. I mean, we all should be having that passionate thirst for God. We should be on fire for God. But why is that not happening? Wow. What about you? Have you fallen victim to complacency in worship attendance? How about private devotion? Prayer life? Evangelism? Giving? Or any other spiritual matter? Or even allowing or partaking in the sins of others to gain your desires and your wants and just to turn a blind eye to it? Have you become a victim to that complacency? Now here, and I had to look this up, here are several biblical references we see on how complacent people of God were. Example, Lot, who had a complacent life in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that story. Then we see about King David, who was complacent in his Christian life, where he, being a king, knowing the truth, committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he also sent Uriah to be killed in order to cover off his sins. The summary of all this, we can evaluate that we see how these characters and other such people took their Christian life very easily and became tolerant to sin, or they became okay with it. Isn't that kind of like what we're seeing in Christians today in the world? Many Christians today, oh, I got no problem with that. I'm okay with it. It's not that bad. There's bigger sins. Have we become tolerant to sin? Folks, I don't care about you, where you're coming from, but according to the Word of God, sin is sin any way that you paint it or picture it. But for us as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, to become complacent or to become tolerant to sin, to hang around it, to be part of it, and just say to yourself, I'm okay with it, and not say nothing about it, and turn the blind eye, then folks, I'm telling you, something's becoming cold in your life. You see, the issue of complacency comes to highlight in our Christian lives when we, you and I, face a situation and we ask the hard questions, have I fallen into this trap also? And because I'm okay to allowing sin to be in my life? Tonight, let me ask you this. How much are you investing in your Christian lives to avoid complacency in your walk with the Lord? How much? How much are you investing in your lives to avoid complacency in your walk with the Lord? I told you earlier, I was honest, I found myself in that trap. I was not 100% diligent in avoiding it. I allowed it to creep into my life. I became okay with sins. I became okay with sins of others just because I wanted to be in the in group, in the clique, in the groove, part of the fellowship. But when my eyes was open, I realized the wrong I was in. And I had to separate myself from that. I had to separate myself from those group of people. I love those people. We pray for everybody. But if you get to the point that you want to be the in crowd thing and overlook the sins that they're involved with, folks, if you're okay with it, then you become partakers of their same sins. Some of you know me. I'm a hard preacher. And I preach it like it is. And I'm not afraid to. I'm not afraid to. Because the question I always ask, how much time of the day do you invest in reading your Bible? How much time during the day that you invest in meditation of the words that you have read? How much time do you invest in prayer to God? How much time do you invest in worship service? Now, I understand some parts of the world, it's hard to go into corporate worship because there's not really many good Bible-believing churches out there. I get that. But see, where I live at, folks, there's 82 churches around my area. So if I'm not in one of them, then I got a problem. And I should not have no excuse. None. None. You see, folks, what I've been thinking about, and I think about this lately now, our Christian life should be a life of relationship to God that grows every day. Every day. Not occasionally. Not whenever we feel like it. It should be growing every single moment of our lives. Now, how do you expect your Christian life to be successful if you have no investment in your Christian growth? How do you expect to be successful in your Christian walk if you're not investing in your Christian growth? How? And here is where we see the problem of complacency in a Christian's lives. And according to the Bible, we can conclude that complacency is when a believer has reached a point of satisfaction in which he or she becomes comfortable in their faith and don't feel the need to move forward in their Christian life, and sin slowly starts to influence his or her Christian life, or they become tolerant to it by turning a blind eye. Wow. Folks, this was a wake-up call for me. It was. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know that what I've been through. But we've been having conversations. But this was a wake-up call for me when I, myself, asked the hardcore question, was I doing this for myself or was this for God? And it taught me a valuable lesson in my relationship to God. When I had to examine my complacency to the sin I knew about, but I allowed it anyway just to justify what I wanted and not what God wanted. It was then, like a ton of bricks, I recalled how much I need to be careful in my ministry. And it was then I realized it was not about me. It had to be about God and His will, even if it would cost me some friends. Yes, my friends, I realized I'd become complacent. And I realized I had to make changes. I realized I had to separate myself. I realized it was for me. It was about me and nothing else. It was not about God. And I had to make some hard decisions. And yes, it cost me some friends. I think about them every day. I pray for them every day. I ask God, let them see. They don't understand what I've been going through. They don't understand my actions. They don't understand why I had to do what I had to do. But I had to go back to the intimacy of God. I had to go back to be bathed into His glory and not of Jim self. And I told God, let Your will be done, Lord. Let Your will be done with this server. Let Your will be done in the ministry. I must decrease in order for Him to increase. I must die to self. Can complacency affect the ministry? Yes. Can complacency affect your relationship with God? Yes. Can complacency affect you spiritually? Yes. Can complacency destroy you? And the answer to that should be yes. Yes. So if we're not afraid to ask the hardcore brass tacks question of ourselves, and be ready to examine the real truth and ask the hard questions. This should be one of them. Have I become complacent to sin? Have I? Have I become complacent to sin? And if you're honest with yourselves, you will most likely find the answer to be, yes, I have. Yes, I have. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, which says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Ooh, that's a hard question. But look what it says also. Test yourselves. Dang, another hard one. But no, it doesn't stop there. It says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Oh, no, you didn't. Unless, of course, and here's the wake-up call.
You fail the test.
Wow. You hear that voice in the back of your head? You failed a test? Oh, no. Oh, no. Please don't let it be. If you've fallen into complacency, you became too comfortable with sin or other people's sin, you became comfortable with the sins of the world by just indulging in it, saying, okay, that's not too bad of a show with that language. I'm okay with it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You need to examine yourself whether you are in the faith. You need to test yourselves. Because as it says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Well, that's our course. You failed the test. Man. So what do we do to find out if we become complacent? Well, let's examine some questions of how we should be protecting ourselves from spiritual complacency. Ask how can we protect ourselves from spiritual complacency? Ask yourself, how? Well, our reading scriptures for tonight, the reading text under consideration today, it gives us six practical steps that we can take to protect ourselves from spiritual complacency. The first step is, remember to whom you belong to. Verse 12. Bottom line, when you look at that passage right there, it says that we belong to Jesus Christ. He is the one that laid hold of us. And we must also want to lay hold that for which Christ has laid hold of us. The second step to protect ourselves from spiritual complacency, realize that the strength of your relationship with Christ yesterday or today says nothing about the strength of your commitment tomorrow. Verse 13 through 15. Now, we know tomorrow's not promised. We know that. But you should be thinking about that, because every day we must press towards the goal of maturity. We cannot let up. We cannot give up. We cannot give in. We must press on. Forgetting the things that are behind refers to the good things of his spiritual life. But he cannot rest in these things if we become complacent to it. He cannot rest in that. He is going to bring it to light. He is going to show you the error of your ways. And if you're willing to ask those questions, as I keep saying over and over and over, you will realize, oh no, no, I'm failing the test. Lord, help me. Help me get it right. The third step to protect yourselves from spiritual complacency is resist the urge to lower your standards. Verse 16. You see, folks, I quote this to a lot of people a lot. They said, Jim, how do you live? I said, I live in accordance to God's standards. His standards is set so high, that's my mark. We miss it. We boo-boo. We stumble. We trip. We fall down. But I do not lower myself to worldly standards. I do not lower myself to sinful standards because, hey, I want to be liked by that person. I want to love that person. I want to pray for that person. But if I lower my standards to be okay with the things they are involved in, then all I'm doing is telling myself I'm okay with it, so I'm going to be partakers of it. No. Let me separate myself from it. But let me do the godly thing and pray for that person. that they come to repentance, that they will confess their sins, and they will bring that relationship back together with God and said, Lord, I could not realize that I fell into complacency. You see, I like to say that one of the easiest ways to determine whether we have grown spiritually complacent is to evaluate where we are today in a relationship to where we might have been at some other point in life. So are you involved in Bible study more right now than you have ever been before? Are you more involved in your prayer life right now than you have ever before? Are you more involved in worship service to God more now than you were ever before? If not, you may be on the brink of spiritual complacency. Are you spending as much time in prayer as any other time in life? Are you? Are you resisting temptation right now? If not, why not? Have you accepted a lower standard for your life? If you did, how do you correct it? The fourth way to protect ourselves from spiritual complacency is to recognize godly examples and follow them. That's verse 17. You see, when you look at that verse right there, that passage, Paul, what he's saying, he's not boasting in giving this command, because when you back it up in verse 12, he acknowledged that he himself was not even perfect. So who should we follow? We should look to follow those who are making it their real life goal to press on towards the call of God. Our main person we need to follow is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should examine ourselves daily. The fifth way to avoid spiritual complacency is to reorder, and this is the one that really got to me, to reorder your priorities to reflect an eternal perspective. Verse 20. What you and I need to do, you need to determine where your priorities are. Are they in a person? Or that it's in a place you just want to be and hang out? Is it? Do you want to be friends with them no matter what, even if it means that you overlook their sins? How about this? Do you want to be part of their group if you know they are allowing sin in their lives and willing to turn a blind eye to it? Do you become complacent with it? Yes, we ought to love the sinners. We ought to pray for them. But if the persons or persons refuses to repent, and if they keep hanging on to it or don't want to acknowledge it before God, you better evaluate yourself with that person. You better start thinking about where does your priorities lie. Well, how about this one? Are your priorities to serving God more important? To be living for Him right way, no matter if it may cost you some friends in your life? When you decide to live for God, my friends, no matter what the cost, it will determine whether you have eternal or earthly perspective in your life. The sixth way we can protect ourselves from spiritual complacency: resolve that your spiritual journey will last a lifetime. Resolve it into your hearts. Resolve it more than ever. Your spiritual journey will last a lifetime. Verse 21. And by that, my friends, what we need to do, we need to examine our daily spiritual lives to the whole time that we are on this journey with Jesus. Not sometimes, not when it's convenient, not when you're willing to be okay with it, not when you're willing to turn a blind eye to it. No, 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 no. We need to examine it daily in our lives while we are on that journey with Jesus. Because if we don't do so, be warned by this, if you don't do so, complacency is one such thing that will get into every area of our lives. Because if we're not careful, the more important we focus on being complacent, we get used to what we want. We get used to our own desires. We get used to doing it that way because we became complacent in life. We're okay with it. We're grown cold to it. Your heart has become dull. And if you're not dealing with it, if you're not asking the hardcore brass tacks questions in your lives, then all it's going to do is cause you to drift away from the real truth. That's what it's going to do. It's going to pull you so far downriver. And I just pray that you realize one day you wake up to it. Oh, God. Did I fail the test? And you make it right. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. If you're not able to keep the fire and the love for God going, then slowly the coldness of complacency will set into our lives. It will lead to spiritual stagnancy and eventually spiritual death. Oh, I'm sure that Satan wants to keep us complacent. Oh, I'm sure he wants to. In fact, the old man-made parable suggests how Satan once summoned all of his top aides to plan how to stop a group of dedicated Christians. And this is the conversation they had. One suggested working to convince them there is no God. Others suggested, well, I'm sorry, but that would never work. There's just too much evidence to suggest there is a God. Okay, well, another suggested, how about this? They work on to convince them that God really doesn't care about rights and wrong. Well, sorry to say, that was dismissed rather quickly. So finally, it was suggested, here's what they all came to 100% agreement with. It was suggested that they just keep whispering, there is no hurry. There is no hurry. There is no hurry. There is no hurry. You got time. You okay? It's not that bad. My dear brothers and sisters, complacency is a serious matter. And this is sin. We must confess our sin to the Lord and allow Him to purify us of that which taints our lives and soul. How do I know this? Look what James chapter 4, verse 8 says about that. I love James because he hits it right between the eyes, folks. And he says right there, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This promise still holds true for all of us, folks, even today. So repent. Break free from your complacency and bring honor and glory back to God. And as I said earlier in this message, complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. And if we honestly examine our hearts, don't you think we have fallen into the abyss our complacency, and said to ourselves, hey, I'm okay with it. Don't you suppose we are self-sufficient in our lives, indulgent in worldliness and lack of compassion for others? Don't you think we need revival, a mighty revival, tremendous awakening that will lead us to become more passionate for God? Drive us to love our Lord with our whole heart and mind and cause us to care for others out of God's love and our hearts for them? Folks, don't be so clueless about sin. Don't become tolerant to sin. You know why I'm saying this? Well, I'm telling you one primary reason. Jesus himself was very serious about sin. So why should we not be? If Jesus was so serious about sin, even God himself detests sin, hates it, then why don't we? Why do we tolerate it? Why are we okay with a brother and sister and so much sin that they will not confess it and we know it? Why are we so complacent when a church is in sin and we know it? Why we become so complacent in sin in our own homes and we ourselves know it? If Jesus was very serious about it, don't you think we should be? Don't you? Always be vigilant about sin. Always. Because, my friends, the battle against sin is worth it. And when you are at this point, ask yourselves the following questions. Have I become so complacent to sin and allowed it myself to fall into complacency of it? If my camera was activated, you'll see me raising my hand. I did. It was a wake-up call. So when you ask yourself, have I become so complacent to sin and allowed myself to fall into complacency of it? And if you said yes to yourself, or think about it later, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? And most important, how will I correct the issue? How will I correct it? And once you see it, then repent of it and get back on the right track with God and live like we're supposed to. Glorify God by doing the right thing. And call sin for what it is, S-I-N, sin. Because we don't want to hear those dreadful words in our homes, in our corporate worship, in our spiritual life. We don't want to hear Ichabod. Some of you already know what that is if you study the word. It means that the glory of the Lord has left this place. Have we failed the test? Or should we start calling sin for what it is? Sin. And repent. And bring honor and glory back to God. Examine your hearts. Ask yourself the hard questions. Do not be afraid. And be honest with it. And let God speak to your heart to show you what needs to be done and corrected. Amen? Let's pray.